revival and about preparation for what God wants to do. So I want us to just be in a place of prayer as the people of God in these days that we are living in, and in 2019, we need to be in prayer for what God wants to pour out and what God wants to release. So I'm going to just open up the scriptures and bring this out the way the Spirit of God was giving it to me. You know, I just got this in my spirit maybe 20 minutes ago while I was praying in the Holy Ghost in the service. So I had something else, but the Lord said, go to Revelation 12, chapter 12. So I'll give you the title at the end, because I'm going to find out what the title is. I'm preaching prophetically. Amen. This is prophetic preaching right here. This is no preparation. I have no notes on this. But I'm just getting ready to share it the way God put it in my spirit. For some of you that may not know me, this is how I function. I irritate some of my media guys because they always want to have a title and give us the verses. What are you going to be preaching on so we can put it on the big screen and prepare? But sometimes I have no idea what I'm going to say until 5 minutes sometimes before I get up. I've been doing this 28 years, so I don't get nervous. I'm good. Praise the Lord. Amen. I know some people will be sweating and nervous and scared. No, I know how the gift of my life works. God doesn't give it to me sometimes because he doesn't want me to introduce any of myself in there. He wants it to be as raw and as from the throne as it can be. So sometimes my ears are hearing my mouth saying things that my head doesn't know. And it's things that is coming out of this presence and the Spirit of God. Like I said, I'm eating my own cooking. Sometimes I high five myself. I answer the altar call. I go. I mean, I just go. I'm like, I say, give me that tape. I need to listen to that tape. Give me that CD or that DVD, and I have to listen to it because I understand this is not me. So this is one of those messages that I'm hearing from the Spirit of God just now. I had something else prepared, but the Lord said, put that aside and get your heart ready because I'm about to drop something that will bless the people of God. So Revelation chapter 12, I'll give you the title at the end. Verse 1 says, now a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and let me just get my iPad so it doesn't go to sleep. I gotta go to make it stay awake till I'm done. Praise the Lord. It goes to sleep every 2 minutes. Can't be putting the thing out to waking it up over time. All right. It says, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet. Under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations. And I hear in my spirit that that will be a key thing, to rule all nations. How many of you know what the church is about to give birth to is going to impact all nations? It's not going to just be a region. It's not going to be a city. It's not going to be a town. It's not going to just be a church, not a denomination. It's going to be something that's going to impact the entire planet. What God is getting ready to release, and you've got to understand, he's going to birth it through the church. He's going to impact nations. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It says, where am I? She bore a male child. Verse 5. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Father, we ask you to speak to us tonight. And even as we come to the end of this last tour, before I get on that plane tomorrow and head back to Australia, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you have saved the best for last. That tonight, Father, let there be a supernatural outpouring of your Spirit. Let there be mantles released, as you spoke to me this evening, that you're going to release fresh mantles, that you're going to stir up gifts. There will be new anointings that God is going to begin to pour out. And the people will begin to awaken in their spirit to the realities of what God is about to do and what God is doing in and through them. So, Father, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're about to do in this place. And we give you glory, give you honor, and we give you praise. We don't have to see it to praise you. We praise you in advance. We know you're good for it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that tonight you will set us apart. That you will set us apart, O God, that you will touch our hearts. Let your fingerprints, your handprints be over the tablets of our hearts. And let us be transformed in your glory. Let us be transformed in your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you are causing us to be seated together with you in heavenly places, far above principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness of this world. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are going to rule and reign with you in Jesus' mighty name. So I pray, let the church tonight be edified. Yes. Let every saint, Father God, be edified. Jesus, you be glorified. And may every devil and demon be terrified in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the Bible says with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Now whenever you read this, there is nothing new. God tends to do things, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So things tend to happen in cycles. Every time God tries to do something, God wants to release something, there's always a cycle that you can look at, a pattern that has already been formed that you can look at and follow it through time and see that this has happened before. Because every single time God gets ready to do something supernatural on the earth, number one, he does it because he wants to respond to the cries of his people. Whenever the people of God get to the place where they're crying out to God, they're praying, they're decreeing, there's a cry that is going forth from the earth to the heavens. Every single time there is a cry that is going up before the Lord, God always sends an answer. There's always a response that comes from heaven. And the response is always a person, it's always a movement, it's always an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Something that he does, he releases a response to the cry of God's people. God does nothing until people begin to pray and people begin to speak to him. Now we see this has happened before, because the Bible tells us that the children of Israel in the Old Testament went all the way to Egypt in the times of Joseph. And while they were in Egypt, the Bible says there was a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph or the contributions of Joseph, and he began to enslave the children of Israel. And things got so bad that he made them to build the cities of Pithom and Ramesses and didn't pay them a cent. They were slaves. They became slaves. They came in as guests but ended up as slaves. And after a while, the people of God began to cry out to God. They began to travail in their spirit. Their pain began to go before God. And God began to, after 400 years of them being in slavery, God decided that he was going to send a response. belongs. Now, one thing that you've got to understand is that Satan has a way of reading signs in the spirit. Sometimes he tends to know things that are about to happen before even the believers know things that are about to happen. So obviously Satan, who made sure that the Egyptians, who are idol worshippers and sun worshippers and into witchcraft and all kinds of sorcery, because remember when Moses threw the stick down and it became a snake, they were able to duplicate that miracle. They were able to do the same. When he poured the miracle of the water turning to blood, the Bible says they were able to duplicate that. There was sorcery and witchcraft in that nation. And Satan knew that I'm going to wipe out the benefits or the memory of what Joseph did in the minds of the Pharaoh. And I'm going to put these people of God into a place of bondage. And I'm going to afflict them, and I'm going to bind them, and I'm going to subdue them. For 400 years, Satan had his way. But the people of God began to cry out to God. And the Bible says when they began to cry out to God, God began to prepare a man who was going to bring them out of Egypt and take them into the promised land. Now, I don't know what Satan saw, but he must have picked up some supernatural signs in the spiritual realm, because he put it in the heart of Pharaoh to begin to kill all the babies. There was a decree that went from Pharaoh's house, go to all the midwives, that whenever you see sons being born, you take those sons and you throw them in the Nile so that they can be eaten by the crocodiles. And so the Bible tells us that during that time, God began to come up with a way of escape for the children of God. He began to touch the hearts of the midwives, so that when they would delay, so that they didn't feel right about doing that. And the Bible says, and God blessed the midwives for their sake. And so the Bible tells us around that time, Moses was born. And this is why Satan was sending all these attacks. It was to kill Moses, to get rid of Moses, to get rid of the deliverer, the one who was going to get the people of God from the place of bondage and take them into the place of abundance and increase and overflow. And so the Bible says that Moses was released, because as he was beginning to grow up as a little baby, his parents couldn't have him anymore. So they put him in a basket, released him down the Nile. And it was Pharaoh's daughter that found Moses. And the Bible says he was drawn out of the water and went into Pharaoh's house, and he became a prince of Egypt. And he grew up in Pharaoh's house as a prince of Egypt. And the Bible tells us that some things were beginning to happen in his heart, and God began to touch this young man because he had an encounter with God, and there was something on the inside of him that began to work. And God eventually began to use Moses to bring the people of God out of the place of bondage and slavery and begin to take them into the promised land. Now, things don't happen just one. There was also another similar thing that happened between the book of Malachi and Matthew. 400 years of silence. God was not speaking. There was no prophetic revelation. There was no word from the Lord between Malachi and Matthew. God was silent. And the Bible says during that time, there was a star that appeared all of a sudden. And I believe it's because of the cry of God's people. A star appeared in the heavenlies. Some of the Magi or some of the kings from the east, when they saw the star, they realized that God is about to do something supernatural. The religious leaders never understood it. The people in the land never understood it. But there were certain people who had a spirit of discernment that were able to see the stars in the sky, the sign in the sky, and realize that there's something that God is about to do. There is another Moses that is about to be sent. And every time you see the political world or the political kings or the political leadership rising up to come and try to subdue the church, whether it's legally or through passing laws like abortion and all that sort of stuff, you know that they're trying to remove or get rid of something that God is getting ready to do. We see him rising up with the political leader through Pharaoh in the time of Moses. We see it with Herod in the time of Jesus. There was a decree that went forth that all the children should be killed. And let me just say this, Satan can tell that there's a blessing that is coming your way, but he cannot really pinpoint it where exactly it is, because God has already, because we are, our lives are hidden in Christ, in God. He can't really get to that place of revelation.
And so he begins to do the same thing through political process and a political spirit. And he begins to start to try and kill Jesus, to try and wipe out Jesus' life and remove him so that the people will remain in their sin and will remain in bondage and remain in that place. But God did the same thing to Jesus that he did to Moses. The Bible says Jesus fled to Egypt. Moses was released and he went to Pharaoh's house and was raised up as a son of, or as a prince of Egypt. Jesus went to Pharaoh's house again, and he was in that place until Pharaoh, until King Herod died in Israel. Until that time, he stayed in Egypt and he was being raised up in Egypt. So that it will come to pass, which was written in Isaiah, that out of Egypt I called my son. Now, one of the things we need to understand in the Church of Jesus Christ is that we have got two things that we need to fight and we need to overcome, and that is the political spirit and the religious spirit. I believe sometimes the moves of God are hidden in certain places, and there are certain ones that God has hidden them in the world because he cannot trust the church with them because of the political spirit and the religious spirit. There are some people who are still bound up and they're still it. Let me just say this. There are some people who God is hiding them in Egypt. He's hiding them still in the world. The reason they're not saved is not because we're not preaching hard enough. The reason they're not saved is because there's still spirits in the church that needs to be dealt with. Because if they came to the church, we will religionize them and we will politicize them. We will come and just strip the things that God wants to do in them. And so sometimes God has to hide them on the outside until Herod dies in the church.
Yeah.
And Herod speaks of about leadership that is threatened. He speaks about leadership like King Saul. It's a Saul type of leadership. It's a leadership that feels insecure. It's a leadership that cannot stand somebody else being raised up and being used by God. It's a leadership that feels like it needs to. If God doesn't do it through me, it's not getting done. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, King Herod said, "Who is this other king that I'm hearing about?" You see, he got mad because he thought, what, there cannot be two of us. There's only got to be me, myself and I, and nobody else. And if I hear that anybody else is starting to get used, I better put them out. This is the same spirit that was on Saul when God anointed David. He began to throw javelins and try to kill David. David had to run for his life, lived even with the enemies, and acted like a madman because of what was in King Saul. Let me just say, there's a Saul spirit that needs to die in the house of God. And let me just say this, God is about to move. This is the story of the elder brother who gets mad because the younger brother has come home and the father is throwing a party on behalf of the older brother or the younger brother. This is the story of the elder brother who never left home. He was always at home. He was a good daddy's boy, wore his nice tie, wore his nice suit. He spoke in King James language. I mean, he's not like his younger brother who left and went into the world, got tattoos and had, you know, all the crazy hairstyles and piercings everywhere, finally coming to his mind saying, let me go back to my house. You got to understand, we are coming into a season where we need to begin to rejoice and praise God for what God is getting ready to bring.
Yeah,
hallelujah. And you've got to understand that God wants to send, he wants to send his people. He wants to send. Is the battery gone? All right.
That's all right.
You got a good voice anyway.
Amen. Oh, Father, we thank you. Release it here tonight.
For your glory. See, one of the problems I've ever had while I was coming up as a young man of God, God saved at the age of 11. Whenever I began, people never had an issue with me until I got up and preached. some of the older preachers never had an issue with me until I got up and preached. And you've got to understand that sometimes, I know what it was like for Moses. There was a lot of insecurity, a lot of fear. But you've got to understand that David did not come to challenge Saul's place. He came to compliment Saul. He came to help Saul. He came to do for Saul what Saul couldn't do. Because you've got to understand, this next move of God requires the older and the younger to join hands.
Yes, right.
The Bible says that towards the end of Samson's life, Samson was blind because of some of the stuff that he had done. Samson was blind. And the Bible says he began to pray. He said, Lord, one more time. Let your spirit come upon me one more time. But the problem with Samson is that he could not see. He was blind because sin had come in, and he had lost, because of Delilah, his sight, and he had lost his hair. And the Bible says, in the last days, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. The only way that Samson could see was when he put his head in the pillow and went to sleep. Physically, with his eyes, he couldn't see, but I believe he could still dream. And so for him to be able to fulfill what God had called him to do, he had to connect with somebody with vision. And the Bible says towards the end of his life, he said, I've got the power, I've got the experience, I've got the anointing, but I need somebody to hold my hand and help me. And the Bible says that on the last days, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And you see, the old men began to connect with the young men, and when they held hands, the young men who had vision but did not have the anointing and the power, but they had the vision, they connected hands, and he was able to lead Samson to the pillars to where he could stand. And so you've got to understand, in these last days, until we learn to hold hands and not become intimidated and scared and fearful, we will not see the harvest that God wants to send. Hallelujah. And we need to get to that place where we, the young and the old, you've got to understand, when Jesus was getting ready to move and come into Jerusalem to make the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, he sent the disciples and said, go and untie the colt. A colt is the young one of a donkey. Untie the colt. The colt has never been ridden before, had no experience, did not know how to act. I mean, did not know how to behave, did not know Bible, King James Bible language, did not know, but you know, didn't have a Bible school education. But he said, if I'm about to ride into Jerusalem, I'm going to use the young one of a colt. There is a generation that God is raising up. Hallelujah. There's a generation God is raising up. And let me tell you, the young one of a colt would not have come if mama didn't come with it. And you've got to understand, both of them walked together. He rode on the young one of the colt. In other words, there's a move, there's a generation that God is bringing forth that may not have the Christianese language, know how to act, know how to dress, know how to be. They will come in with their tattoos, get ready for it. They will come in with their piercings, their green hairs, style, their mohawks, they're coming in with their chains and all that stuff. And let me tell you, older brother, get ready, because God will throw a party for them. They may be in the world right now, messed up, but God is about to touch them so that it may come to pass what he has said, that out of Egypt I call my son. He's about to call them in, but he will only call them in if Herod dies in the church. He will only bring them in when Herod dies. And so the Bible tells us, this is something else that we need to understand. This again happens. Revelation chapter 12 talks about these end times. It happened in the time of Jesus, happened in the time of Moses, and now it is happening today. What we're reading in Revelation 12 is happening right now. The Bible says there was a great sign that appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun. This is the church. The church is clothed with the sun. It's clothed with Christ himself. Jesus, the Son of the living God. Every time you see the Bible talking about the S-U-N, it's really representing the S-O-N. The Bible tells us in Malachi that the S-U-N of righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. The Son of righteousness. That is why when Jesus was on the cross and he died, the Bible says there was an eclipse. The sun stopped shining. Because that sign was a physical symbol of what the Son of God really is. And that is the light of this world.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And he's saying that this woman was dressed with the sun. Whenever the church comes to a place where it begins to be dressed with the sun, in other words, that means we are putting off concerning our former conduct, we are putting off concerning our evil ways, we are putting off concerning our sinful ways, because we are beginning to put on Christ. We cannot put on Christ until we are first put off something. And I believe the church is coming into a season where God is beginning to purify us as the body of Christ. He's beginning to dress us afresh. He's beginning to give us a new dressing. We're about to put on Christ. Whenever people look at us, they're going to see Jesus. They're going to see Christ. Because God is about to clothe us with himself. He's about to wrap his glory around us. The Bible says, arise and shine. And it talks about that the glory of the Lord will be seen upon you. I believe God is about to wrap the church of Jesus Christ with his glory, with his presence, with his power, with his might once again. Because the church is going to go into dark places, and we are tasked to bring light in those dark areas. That means we're going to go to the Islamic world. Come on, somebody. We're going to go to the LGBT areas. Come on, somebody. And we're going to bring the light of the gospel in those dark places. The Bible says, and the light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. That means that darkness can't overcome it, can't fight it, can't resist it, can't hinder it, can't break it down. In other words, the church is about to become unstoppable. The church is about to get its voice once again. In the olden days, the kings didn't even go to war until they asked the prophet, is there a word from the Lord? Now the church is despised. The politicians don't even care about the church. How many of you know God is about to restore the church's dignity once again? We're coming into a season whereby the church is going to, they're going to have to ask the church, what do you want us to do? Do you think this law is okay? Do you think this law is all right? Because God is about to wrap us with his light, with his presence, with his power. And everywhere we go, we will bring light. We will bring illumination. We will bring the glory of God in those areas. Hallelujah. Somebody say, do it, Lord. 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 He's about to dress us with himself. He's about to dress us, not just in character, but in power. He's about to dress us with himself. He's about to make us representatives of him here on the earth. When people see us, they're going to be able to see him. Jesus said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Let me just say this. We are about to come into a season wherever people see us, they're going to see the Father. They will say, we have seen the Lord. God is about to do it. I believe the church is coming into a season where God is going to restore our dignity, is going to restore our authority, is going to restore our power, our position in the society. The kings are about to ask again. They're about to begin to value the word of the church and the word of the people of God because of what God is getting ready to do. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that woman was clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Let me tell you, until the church learns to wear the sun, the moon will never be under our feet. Now, what is the moon? The Bible tells us in Genesis something really, really powerful. It tells us in Genesis that it talks to us about the book of Genesis about the two stars or the two suns that, or rather the stars that God created, one to rule by day, the other one to rule by night. And the Bible says that the sun rules by day, representing Christ. The moon rules by night, representing who? Satan. And the Bible says that God is about to do what? Crush Satan under your what? Feet, surely. And until we put on Christ, we can never be able to rule the night. Oh, somebody's going to get this in a minute. Because this is revelation right here. Hallelujah. Until we get to that place whereby we are able to put on Christ, we may not be able to rule the night. And God wants us to have authority. The Bible tells us that the moon was under the feet of the woman. The Bible says that the moon was created to rule the night. Whatever is ruling the night is about to come under the feet of the church of Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God. And I feel I'm prophesying. Some of you are waiting. This is a prophetic word. And I believe we need to get to that place where we start to say amen to the prophetic word of the Lord. Let it be so. Let it be so in Dunedin. Let it be so in New Zealand. God, we thank you that you're bringing us to the place of divine authority over the powers of darkness and over every attack of the enemy. Glory be to God. And so the Bible says that the church which was clothed in the sun was able to have the moon under its feet. I've never seen this till I've just said it right now. Praise the Lord. I better get this tape. Amen. Then the Bible says this. Then being with child, she cried out. It says with the moon and her feet and on her head, a garland of 12 stars. On the head of the woman was a garland of 12 stars. That talks about apostolic authority. Talks about apostolic authority. Now believe God is releasing apostolic authority. The church is about to rise up again in apostolic authority like it has never been able to rise. You see, the crown talks about rulership. It talks about authority. And it's talking about the 12 garlands of stars around his head. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that the church was built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets. Now, one of the things that we need to understand that the church is coming to a place where it's going to begin to function and flow in apostolic grace like we've never functioned before. Now, when I talk about the apostolic, some people tend to think that that means only one ministry office. No, the apostle has the ability to flow in the prophetic, the evangelistic, the pastoral, the teaching ministry. When I talk about the apostolic, I'm talking about the fivefold. But the authority of the grace is actually on that apostolic ground. The pillars of heaven are built. The Bible says there's 12 pillars in heaven and there's 12 names of the apostles over the pillars that are in heaven. Even heaven itself is supported by the apostolic grace according to the book of Revelation. And God is about to bring us to the revelation of our place and our position in this apostolic power and apostolic grace. We are about to see a movement of restoration where people are going to begin to move with apostolic authority like we have never seen before. And the church is about to begin to rise up in this place that because we are coming to the realization that we've been called by God to flow in the apostolic, in the prophetic, in the evangelistic, in the pastoral, in the teaching. The places where they have put out certain offices and said, we only believe in the pastoral and the evangelistic. Let me just say this. God is restoring the understanding of the revelation of apostolic authority once again. Hallelujah. And that's why Jesus left 12 apostles behind, because he wanted the initial church, the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, it was birthed through those 12 men that he had set aside. There was graces that flowed out of those 12 men. There was anointings that flowed out of those 12 men, because he knew that the church of Jesus Christ needs to be built in that apostolic grace. We will have pastors, evangelists, we'll have our teachers, we'll have all the fivefold, but it will be flowing through that apostolic authority here on the earth. And I believe that as we come to that place, we are coming to the place of authority. The church, the woman, had the crown of 12 stars. How many of you know that that's what are getting a revelation now of what this all means? And it says, and being with child, you see, the church is pregnant. The church is carrying something in its womb. Being with child. Why are we pregnant? We are pregnant because of fellowship and intimacy with our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, whenever we begin to build relationship with our Master, with our Lord Jesus Christ, there are certain things that are birthed on the inside of the womb of the Church of Jesus Christ. And I believe that the church is pregnant with revival. This is a message that is constant and is the same message all over the world. Everywhere you go, people are talking about the next move of God. They are talking about revival. You go to America, the Ukraine, Russia, doesn't matter where you go, Europe, everybody is talking about there is a revival that is coming. Why? Because we are pregnant with this move of God. And I believe this time of fellowship, this time of intimacy with the Lord has birthed something in the womb of the church. The moment we begin to make room for Him, He comes in and there's something that is birthed on the inside of us. And I believe the church has been walking around in labor pains. We are carrying a move of God. We are carrying revival. We are carrying an outpouring of the Spirit of God that God wants to release on this earth. How many of you can say, I feel something on the inside? This is why that you feel dissatisfied. This is why there's something that causes you to feel unsettled. This is why it's something that causes you to want to press in. And you begin to see, where is God moving? What is happening? I'm not satisfied with just being in this place. I'm not satisfied with just eating this food. I need more. I need more. There's a profound cry throughout the body of Christ where there's a sense of dissatisfaction because people are getting ready to birth something in the Spirit. Glory be to God. Somebody put your hand on the belly and say, I'm pregnant. I'm carrying something. Come on, somebody. I'm carrying something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's not be religious. Man, put your hand on your belly. Say, I'm pregnant. Come on, somebody. Glory be to God. Now you've got to understand, in Christ there is no male or female. You are as much a bride of Christ as I am. You know, let me just say this. Praise the Lord. In Him, there is no male, there's no female. Glory be to God. The women are as much sons of God as the men are brides of Christ. Praise the Lord. And I believe we as the church, we are carrying something. And whenever you're carrying something, you've got to change some things. Number one, you got to change what you eat. You got to realize you're not eating for one now. You're eating for two. That's why you can't be eating every kind of junk that is out there. You got to clean your diet. Come on, somebody. You got to put away some stuff. If you're prone to smoking, put away the cigarette. If not, come on, somebody. We got to put out the bad habits, the stuff that we're doing that may endanger what we are carrying on the inside. And I hear the Spirit of God saying, begin to eat for two. It's not just for one anymore. We begin to eat what feeds your spirit, feeds whatever you're carrying on the inside. Begin to get around. I mean, get books, get tapes, get back into the revivals that have happened in the past. Play them in your car, in your radios. Go watch what the Lord has done in that place. Let's begin to feed yourself and begin to say, God, do a new thing. Do a new thing. Do a new thing. And I feel that God is beginning to touch the body of Christ. We are pregnant with a move of God that is about to transform the nations. I say the nations. Hallelujah. What God is about to release is not going to just touch one country, one region, one church, one denomination. It's about to touch the entire planet. You see, in the moves of God in the past, they touch regions, they touch cities, they touch churches, even denominations. But what I believe is coming in these last days, in these end times, is going to be a move that's going to touch the entire planet. Nothing gets the people ready for a second coming of Jesus like revival. And Jesus is not the kind of God that doesn't want a return of His investment. He wants to get as much out of this earth as He can possibly get. He wants to get as many people out as He can possibly get. No farmer goes to his paddock and plants a crop and then wants to sneak up on it while it's still green so he can leave it all in the vine. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Can we just dispel those rumors, those lies? No. What does the farmer do? He waits until the best time when all of them are ripe as much as possible. Because the farmer wants to get as much out of his paddock as he can possibly get. There's nothing that ripens the people of God and gets them ready for harvest like revival. Come on, somebody. Revival causes people to lose interest in football, rugby. Come on, somebody. All the entertainments. They're thinking Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They're thinking, come on, let's go to the house of God. They're going to be playing games, running ways, everybody. Oh, they went to church. We need to move our games to a weekday. Amen. Come put them on Sunday. I don't know if you have them on Sunday. In Australia, we have them on Sundays. And God is about to cause the minds of the people of God. People are not going to be thinking about money as much. They're going to be thinking about the Lord. Their break time will be they're opening the Bibles and on their phones and no Facebook anymore. Now it's new. Come on, somebody. You version, the Bible, opening the scriptures. They're going to be texting each other's verses and telling each other, oh, I found this wonderful verse, sending it to one another. Let me tell you, the revival causes people to fall in love with God once again. And that means the fruit is beginning to ripen. God is getting ready to come and pick the harvest out of the paddock. Glory be to God. He's not trying to sneak up on us so that he can leave us behind. Amen. How many of you seen that movie? That's not based on the heart of God. He wants to be able to get as much out of this investment that he has done. I mean, he paid a price. It was his son's blood. His son's life. So that you and I may be saved. To as many as believe, to them gave he power to become sons of God. And so he wants to come and be able to bring us into that place of harvest. He wants to harvest us. The Bible says, and the harvest is the end of age. And he talks about the angels sent to the four corners of the earth. Not four corners of Dunedin. Not four corners of New Zealand. That's why I believe what God is getting ready to pour out is going to be international. It's going to be worldwide. The harvest angels are going to be sent to the four corners of the earth. And they're going to begin to bring in the harvest. Come on, give Jesus praise. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And the Bible tells us she was pregnant. She was pregnant. Now, let me just say this. Whenever there's this pregnancy, the same problem that was in the time of Moses, same problem that was in the time of Jesus, is the same problem that's going to be in these end times. Satan begins to see signs. And he can see there's a move of God that is coming. God is about to do something. And every time he tries to curtail the move of God, he uses political power and he uses religious spirits. He has done it in Moses' time. He did it in Jesus' time. And there's nothing new under the sun. He's going to do it even in this day and this age. Don't be afraid when you start seeing all the crazy laws being passed. This is the devil rearing his ugly head, trying to hinder what God wants to do. Whatever laws that may try to limit free speech, tell us we can't preach the word, can't preach this truth. We have to water down the scriptures to fit in with something. This is the devil scared because the church is about to give birth to something. I said to people, they're saying, what's going on around the world? In America, they have legalized marijuana, legalized this, legalized homosexuality, legalized abortion, legalized all this. And now the whole world is going. Australia's followed. New Zealand, whether you've already gone that way or not. But the whole world is starting to go down this road. Why? Because Satan is seeing signs in the spiritual realm that the church is pregnant. And there's a spirit of abortion that is coming. Now you've got to understand, when this lady was pregnant and she was in labor, she was getting ready to give birth, that dragon stood in front of her. And it was not interested in the woman, it was interested in what the woman was pregnant with. The attack that we are facing and the hindrances we are facing is not because of who we are as the church, it's because of what we are carrying on the inside. This move of God threatens the devil. It threatens his kingdom. It threatens his processes. Let me just say this. The fight that you're facing is not because of you. It's because of what you're carrying. So if you're here tonight and you've been going through challenges and you've been feeling a lot of resistance and it's like the devil has been fighting you, it's because you're carrying something on the inside that God wants to see come out. And he wants to see it beginning to transform the nations of this earth. And that's why the devil is up and angry and he's trying to kill the move of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These laws is not targeting the church. They're saying, oh, they're trying to take us free speech. They're trying to stop us. They're trying to stop our preaching. It's not us. They're not interested in us. You've got to see things from God's perspective. That means that the devil has seen something that we are carrying that we're about to bring forth. And that is where the battle is. You see, the battle was to kill Jesus, not the parents of Jesus. The issue was to kill Moses, not the parents of Moses. The issue here is to kill the move of God, not just the church. The church, God, the devil's not interested, could not care less. But what the church is pregnant with is causing him to become scared. Because he's hearing a message. Everywhere he turns, everybody's talking about revival, revival, revival. And people are in labor. There's a place where they're groaning in the spirit. They're beginning to come into their birthing position. They're beginning to grow. They know there's something that is coming. There's something that is coming. And so the enemy is looking around, seeing where is this move? Where is it going to come? Where is it going to start? And he's trying every nation, trying to stop it in every country where he has no idea where it's going to be birthed from. I'm prophesying. This is no preaching. This is a prophetic message. Amen. And the Bible tells us, verse 5, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. She bore a male child who was to rule all the nations. This next move of God is going to touch the nations of the world. That is why until I see the people, Muslims, turning to the Lord. And let me just say this. Just and I think I might have shared this the last time I was here. But there was this nation in Africa. There's an Islamic nation. I'm trying to remember the name of that nation. Morocco. I believe it's Morocco. One village in Morocco whereby everybody, it's a Muslim village. Everybody went to sleep in these 300,000 people. This was reported in Al Jazeera. Went to sleep, 300,000 people in this village. And every one of them in that village had a dream and they saw Jesus. And when they woke up, their name was still Muhammad, their name was still, you know, Ishmael and all the rest of it, but they were transformed. They started talking to one another. Did you see the same dream? Everybody started talking about the dream. It was in the newspaper that the entire village saw a dream. They went to sleep Muslims, they woke up Christians. Hallelujah. You see, God is speeding things up. He's not even waiting for the evangelist to go anymore. He's already stepping because the time is short. He's already stepping over the boundaries and the political, you know, the visa processes and all that junk that they put to keep the church out. And he's already beginning to show up. 300,000 Muslims gave their hearts to Jesus. Al Jazeera reported that in the last 5 years, 10 million Muslims have become Christians in the 1040 window. This is in countries that do not allow Christians to go and evangelize. Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Oman, all these places that don't allow Christians in. 10 million have come to know Christ and they're asking themselves, how in the world, how does this happen? And majority of them went to sleep and saw Yeshua come to them in the dream and they gave their hearts to Jesus. And that includes ISIS guys who have been killers and murderers. Some of them have gone to sleep and woken up Christians preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. If come on somebody. How many of you know we are coming into a season of acceleration? We're in a season of acceleration. God is accelerating this process. He's not even waiting for me to get a visa to go there. He's not waiting for the church. He's already stepping out. They may keep me out, but they can't keep him out. Glory be to God. They may keep us out, but they cannot keep him out. He is stepping out there and he's showing up and he's getting them saved. The other day there was a church in Egypt. How many of you saw those in the news? This Muslim burnt a church Christian church in Egypt. There's laws in Egypt. If a church is destroyed, you cannot rebuild it. If a church is dilapidated, you cannot even renovate it. They will not destroy or hinder or stop the churches, but once it falls apart, that's it. You can't build one. The Islamic Brotherhood has made sure they put laws like that. They went and burnt a church And when they burned this church, one of the clerics, Muslim clerics, went to observe and look, because they burned the whole thing, and except where they had burnt a Bible, which was inside the church, the Bible burnt, and it completely burnt and left one phrase, Jesus is Lord. And when he went home, he could not sleep. He was thinking, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. He went to sleep, and then Jesus is Lord appeared to him. And this is one of the highest clerics in Islam. And he went and he began to preach. He went to the mosque and he stood in the mosque and he began to preach about Isa, and started telling them about Jesus. And they came up to him, they wanted to kill him, and the man walked through them just like Jesus. Come on, somebody. He walked through them. There's moves and moves of the Holy Spirit that are happening, even in those worlds. They may not be reported, but let me tell you, there is moves of God, and God is already beginning to gather the harvest. He's getting them ready. There is some move of God in these areas that we have not even begun to fathom or to understand. There is a website that has been set aside, have been built just to catalog and write thousands and thousands of testimonies of people that have seen Jesus in their dreams and given their hearts to the Lord. And you can go, even you can go Google it, visions of Christ. Muslims are getting saved left, right, center, and they're coming to the place of salvation. And I believe it's because we are living in times of acceleration. God is seeing that the church is not moving fast enough, so he's going ahead of us. And he's already beginning to meet with these people and minister to them. And he's beginning to bring them into a place of getting ready for the harvest. Because he wants a return of his investment. The Bible says she bore a male child who was to rule all nations, not just the Christian ones. All nations. Somebody say all nations. And the Bible says, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. And the child was caught up to God and his throne. Now, when Moses was born, he was caught up to Pharaoh's house. In other words, Pharaoh's family was the one that was responsible to feed him, to educate him, to raise him up, do all those stuff. When Jesus went over to Egypt, he was in a place where he was safe. That's where God had already provided through the three kings enough resources to be looked after in that place until Herod died. But this next move of God, the Bible says the child was caught up to God. You see, in the last moves of God, men have been entrusted by God to give birth, to raise the child, to raise these moves of God. So these moves of God have had the DNA and the fingerprint of the men that were used, or the women that were used by God to raise these moves. That's why you've got the Azusa Street Revival, and then a man's name comes up. You talk about the Brownsville Revival, a man's name comes up. Why? Because God gave these people, these babies, to birth and bring forth, and they were given the permission to raise these children. And so these moves of God have the fingerprints and the DNA of the men and the women, of the movements, of the churches, of the organizations that birthed them. But the problem with us is that whenever we began to birth these moves of God, we began to claim these moves of God. And we say, this is our move. This is our revival. This is what God is doing with us. And we never really released this to touch the world. We began to give it our own DNA. We gave it our own names, our last names. We gave these moves of God our own fingerprints and our own. Now, it had our own nature. But this next move of God is not going to have a human personality connected to it. Oh, hallelujah. You're not going to say it's a move of God by this church, that church, this denomination, that denomination. You're not going to say it's a Toronto thing, it's a Todd Bentley thing, it's a John Kilpatrick thing. You're not going to put a human name to it, because this child is about to be caught up with God. It's going to be a God thing. Yeah. God is the one. Come on, somebody. And let me just say this. It's God's responsibility to nurture that child. It's his responsibility to feed that child. It's his responsibility to raise that child. In other words, he will be its Alpha and Omega. Its beginning and its end. It's going to have the fingerprint and the move and the DNA, the very DNA of God. There will be nobody who will be able to merchandise what God is doing. There's nobody who's going to be able to trademark what God is doing. Nobody will be able to claim what God is doing as their own. What God is about to release, it's going to have his own handprint. And let me just say this. People are not going to be able to say it is a move of this denomination, that denomination. Let me tell you, what is about to happen is going to be in Presbyterian churches, Methodist churches, Catholic churches. Anywhere where they open the door, God is going to show up and he's going to show off. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I need this tape. Come on. And I hope you're recording. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. This next move, nobody will claim it. Nobody will say this is our move. This is our revival. This is our thing. It's going to have the DNA of God. God is the one who's going to raise it up. You see, when he was raised in Egypt, Moses, he came, became like a prince of Egypt. He spoke their language, had their DNA, had their fingerprint, though he was sent to help the people of God. Let me just say this. What God is about to raise, he's the one who's going to be responsible for it. God doesn't need any denomination to fund it. He doesn't need any denomination to support it. Doesn't need any denomination to stand with it, because himself is going to be the one that's going to raise it.
Yeah.
Glory be to God. He will fund it himself. He will spread it himself. Let me tell you, there's going to be churches in Russia, in the middle of Siberia. They're going to be on fire for God, having revival. And when you come to Dunedin, the same anointing, same glory, same presence is going to be in the churches here. And they'll say, how is it that you too can have the same atmosphere? And it is because God is there and is here. Glory be to God. Oh, I am hearing the Spirit of God. I am prophesying over this atmosphere. The Bible says the woman, the Bible tells us that, and her child was called up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness. If we can have somebody on the keyboard, that'll be great. It says, then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God. Just some strings and real low. That'll be great. It says, then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, if we come to verse 13, the Bible says, now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Now, what this is telling us is that, now, before we read that, the Holy Ghost is telling me, read verse 7. Okay, Lord, I'll do it. The war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. You see, the biggest problem the churches had is the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. The reason why we've been struggling, we've been able to get breakthroughs, is because everything we pray, everything we do is resisted by the demonic in that dimension. That is why we've seen, and I've talked about this maybe in the crusade, back if you're in the crusade. I talked a little bit about Daniel and how Daniel, when he saw a vision from God and he never understood what the vision meant. The Bible says Daniel began to pray. He said, God, I need you to give me revelation of what you just showed me in this vision. It's troubling me. And he went on a fast. And the Bible says, I never had an answer. Not for 21 days. No answer came. On the 21st day, this angel shows up. He shows up. And he says, Daniel, the moment you began to pray and fast, the answer was sent 21 days ago. But it has taken 21 days for the results to come to you, because of the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. You see, every time you stand before God, the accuser of the brethren is up there trying to bring accusations. Thank God we have an advocate with, the Bible says, in the man Christ Jesus. He's our lawyer. We have an advocate. He can defend us, and he's never lost a case. But in the process of us being accused, some of us have gone through what I call Job experience. We've lost up. We've gone through so much things. But this time is coming to an end. Because when the church begins to give birth to what God is getting ready to do, there's going to be a battle in the heavenlies. And that spiritual barrier that has been around the world, so that the world has been under a closed heaven, is about to be broken. And I believe we're coming into a season where the entire planet is going to be under an open heaven. Glory be to God. God is about to release the angelic host. Michael has been waiting for this day, where Satan will not be able to come up again and bring accusations before God against the people of God. And God is about to release him to fight against the demonic and the powers of darkness that have tormented the church for 2,000 years. And the Bible says that he will prevail and he will be cast to the earth. And there will be no more place found in heaven for Lucifer anymore. That means that now when we pray, we don't need to wait 21 days to get an answer. Whenever we pray, there's going to be angels ascending and descending. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? Whenever we pray for miracles, God is going to perform miracles. We are about to see dead people being raised. We are about to see unprecedented miracles like you've never seen before. Let me just say this. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. What God is getting ready to do, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, what God is about to do. Let me just say this. You will stand up and preach the gospel, and people will hear and they will repent, because there will be no demonic interference, because the devil is about to be subdued once again. You will go to places where nobody wanted to hear what you had to say, and you will open your mouth and preach, and the nations will come running to the altar. They'll come running and jumping at the altar saying, what must we do that we may receive Jesus? What must we do that we might be saved? This is the great harvest that is coming. There will be no barriers. There will be no resistance. There will be no hindrances anymore. And your children, your parents, the people that you love that don't know Jesus, they're about to know Christ. Hallelujah. I want us to lift up our hands and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And I want you to say, Jesus, do it, do it, do it, do it. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. All our families, they need to come to know Christ. Begin to pray. The Bible says, ask of me and I will give you. I will give you the nations for your inheritance. The nations, ask of me and I will give you the nations. Psalms 2 verse 8. Ask of me and I will give you the nations. Nations, 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 nations for your inheritance. A time is coming when the stadiums in Dunedin will be overflowing with God's people. The stadium will be overflowing. People will not have a place. They will not know where. There's not going to be any room. Churches are going to be filled. People will be looking for Christ. They will be looking for God. They will say, we don't know why, but there's something that is drawing us to God. And those who turn their backs on Christ, they are coming back home. Our sons who are in darkness, they are coming home. The prodigal son is coming home. Those who have been lost are coming home. Jesus came to tell you that he's about to send them home. They are coming home. Your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, those who don't know Christ, they are coming home. Thank you, Jesus, for these moves of God. This is why the religious spirit hates revival. This is why the religious people in the church hate revival. Because they don't want to, the devil doesn't want to see all these people in slavery, in bondage, coming into the kingdom. He doesn't want to see the strip clubs emptied out. He doesn't want to see the brothels emptied out. He doesn't want to see the pubs emptied out. And so he's holding and making sure through a political and a religious spirit that people will stay in the place of bondage. But the Bible says that God is about to release the angelic hosts of heaven. Michael is about to be released to do battle. Michael is about to be released. Michael is about to be released. Michael is about to be released. Every spiritual barrier, every spiritual hindrance, every spiritual attack of the enemy is about to come down. God is about to open up. We are about to have an open heaven. Open heaven, open heaven, open heaven. Father, we worship you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Verse 10 says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, he accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. It says to us now, salvation. We're about to see salvations like you've never seen before. Glory be to God. Strength. We're about to see the power of God, the strength of God like never before. And the kingdom of our God. That means that his will is about to be done on earth as it is being done in heaven. Glory be to God. His kingdom is not coming to just a small place, but his kingdom is about to invade this kingdom. I said his kingdom is about to invade this kingdom. Glory be to God. The kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And the Bible says, and they, this is the children of God, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even to death. We are coming into a place where God is about to cause us to overcome every power of darkness, every opposition, every attack of Satan. We are about to overcome it. That means cancer, diabetes, every attack of Satan. We are about to have victory over it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Shandana Baba Baba Sede. Come on, open your mouth. Begin to pray. Begin to intercede. 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 Begin to intercede. Begin to intercede. Begin to intercede. Shada Baba 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 Sandala Baba Se. Shekele Blandala Baba 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 Sandala Baka Salabande. Shada Baba 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 Satala Baba Se. Shera baba baba kasanda la bakanda le baze. Shete le bakanda la baba 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 sade. Ora baba baba sade la pre. Shera baba 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 sade la bakasi la prando robo sade. La baba 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 baba. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Thank you, Baba, 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 Sandra, Baba, Sete. Father, let it begin to break out. 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 Let the revival begin to break out. Let the revival begin to break out. Let it begin to break out. Let it begin to break out. Shere baba baba basa tera basa. Oh, na mama 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 sina blanda na basa. Shere baba baba basa tera blanda na basa. Father, let it begin to break out. 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 Break out, 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 break out. Holy Spirit come, Holy Spirit come, Holy Spirit come. Holy Spirit come, 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 come and have your way. Holy Ghost, come and have your way. Don't pass us by. Not another year. Not another year. Not another year. Let this be it. Let this be it. this time. Let it be it, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. 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 Every yoke broken, every chain broken, every limitation, every barrier removed in the name of Jesus. Move in this place, Holy Spirit, move in this place. Move in this place, Holy Ghost. Move in this place, Holy Spirit. Move in this place, Holy Spirit. Move in this place, Holy Ghost. Move in this place, Holy Spirit. Oh, move in this place, Holy Spirit. Move in this place, Holy Spirit of God. Oh, move in this place, Holy Spirit. Move in this place, Holy Spirit. We need more of you, more of you, more of you. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Let the power of the Holy Spirit fall in this place here tonight. Let the power of the Holy Spirit fall here tonight. Let the power of the Holy Spirit fall here tonight. In the name of Jesus. 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 Father, let it begin to break out. 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 Oh, Rabbi Vandana, the Asada, the Lamazo.